Michael Wirth, how are you?
I'm doing good, Scott Atkins. How are you, man?
Great to talk to you, mate. Great to meet you. Meeting for the first time. Grew up watching your movies, so very happy to have you on The Art of Action.
Well, and I'm gonna tell you something, because you probably don't even remember this, but I actually met you one time at Isaac's office. I think it was after you had done Special Forces. I'm pretty sure I was there for some reason, and you and I, yeah. You know, West Hollywood there, and we kind of crossed paths and watched. I can't remember what we were doing there, but I just shook your hand. And
it was a quick meeting, wasn't it?
It was fast, because he'd been talking about.
I don't have a load of like real fight experience behind me, but I believe that doing this for a living is not good for the brain cells. I forget so many things.
Oh man! Oh, that is hilarious. Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's funny. Anyway, yeah, but anyways, it's good to finally kind of sit down and actually talk with you.
Yeah, no, great to have you on, Michael. As I say, I, you know, I've got a soft spot for any of the sort of like 90s action stars, because I was at the age when, you know, between 13 to 18, when the sort of American martial arts scene was at its height. And it seemed like a new straight to video martial arts film came out like every week. And yeah. I loved it. I mean, I'm growing up watching all these films thinking, well, this is just life, man. This is the way it is. a new martial arts film comes out every week. It's amazing. That's what I want to do with my life.
Yeah.
But it really was the heyday, wasn't it, in the 90s?
Yeah, it definitely, I mean, that was exactly when I started to work, you know. And what's funny, it's a funny story about this, is that when I first got to L.A., the very first day I got to L.A., and I was like, I hadn't quite moved there yet, but I was there with my family, and I was like, oh, this is going to be this where I'm going to do my, we were driving down Venice, and there was a parking lot with a giant, had a big giant boxer painted on the side of the wall, and they were filming No Retreat, No Surrender in the parking lot. Kurt McKinney was in there fighting these guys.
Karate man, we're going to teach you some manners. Okay, it won't happen again. Oh no, it's too late for that. Yeah,
I didn't know who it was at the time, yeah. Right? But I just remember seeing it. And then years later, a year or two later, when the film came out, I saw it. I was like, I was the one who drove by when they were shooting that, because it was right there. So I was like, all right, it's kind of like you know, it's like, all right, there's little signs that make you feel like you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, man. No shit, I surrender. Love that. So first of all, Mike, just tell us what your martial arts background is.
Well, I mean, I'm sure like you and probably many others, you know, I got started by seeing Enter the Dragon. You know, I went into a movie theater thinking it was a monster movie, and halfway through it, I was like, when's it going to enter the dragon, you know? But when I came out of it, I was just like a new man or a new child. And the first thing I studied was Aikido, studied for like 6 months. And I was like, okay, I like this, but it's not quite where I want to go. And then I entered a place called Wenwu School of Martial Arts in Alameda, which was Northern Shaolin, and that I stayed with for a long time. But then, as you're getting into your teens and your testosterone's going, you're like, this katas and forms and stretching's great, but it's like, you know. So I joined another kung fu school called Wujin Pai that was straight up karate, taekwondo tournaments, and just that's where I started actually sparring and fighting, and from there, the Bay Area, I moved down to L.A. with those dreams, you know, I didn't even go down to LA to want to fuse necessarily the martial arts and film together. I just wanted to be a filmmaker, you know. I was like, I don't care if I'm a writer or a director or an actor, I just want to go out there and work and film, because I just loved what it did and how it inspired me in so many different ways. And to go down and specifically work with Dan and Asanto, which I ended up doing down in Marina.
Oh, you trained at the Mecca.
In the Santo Academy, and that's when Chad was down there training. He was in the same classes with me, it was great. It was a great start, you know. And that's Ronnie Wright. This guy was like one of my biggest interactive inspirations. He was such an amazing, amazing fighter, and I just we're always kicking each other in the head.
Yeah, I used to set up my camera and film some sparring sessions myself, because it was always to see either you get hit or you hit the other guy. Play it in slow motion.
Oh, it's great, you know. And this was some karate tournament or taekwondo. Yeah, it was karate tournament. Tell by the geese there. Sometimes we'd go to one or the other.
He did a lot of this going around the country, doing the tournament fighting points.
Yeah,
stuff.
You know, just for, you know, you knew what it was. It would have its limit. It wasn't full contact kickboxing or anything, but it was like, it just, it kept, you had nerves.
Well, you say that, Mike. You say it's not full contact, but this kick here.
Oh, bang. Yeah, this is where they stopped it. I cut the scene, but they did. They stopped for a minute because it hit him right in the face. Yeah, I felt so bad. That guy was so nice. I remembered him going, it's okay, don't disqualify him, don't disqualify him. And they didn't, and we went on and continued the match.
Well, that's the thing about the point sparring is, yeah, you're trying to be controlled. But inevitably, when you go and you start doing it at a high level, you know, you get some good licks.
This is Super 8 films I would make as a kid. This one was called Fists of the Toad, which came out.
How old are you there?
The Toad. And that's my brother actually there watching.
How old are you there, Michael?
Probably 14 or 15. Yeah, we're just like making choreography up and trying to learn how to shoot it. And he's this guy actually here, Eric DeBlasi was his name. He was also in the where you saw me sparring. He was one of the top students there actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
so are you growing up like thinking I want to be a martial arts actor?
Well, I knew I would love to. At that point, I was like, God, I would love to do some action, because it was really the idea of being involved. And because I grew up like you, you know, my kind of connection was more with the Chinese Shaw Brothers, Bruce Lai movies, Dragon Lee movies. That's kind of what I was going to see. It was right before the real video boom. They were still in theaters. You'd get the grindhouse things. You'd go down once a week and plop down in the theater and skip school and watch it for a while. And so I was like, yeah, I did want to come out and make fighting movies. But I was just as I thought, well, if I become a, you know, at that time, Ray Harryhausen was a big influence on me too. I thought, well, if I become an animator, I'll become an animator. I just want to work and make movies. You know, that was my motivation.
So what's like for myself, the martial arts was more prevalent than the acting when I was growing up. I mean, yeah, I wanted to get into the movies and I knew that, but I was kind of a little bit scared of the acting because I was quite shy, and the martial arts came very easy to me. And so I threw myself wholeheartedly into that and probably should have done more acting. But was it, which way around was it? Were you more acting or both or more martial arts? What was the deal?
That's an interesting point you bring up, because when I got down and to Los Angeles and started doing stunt work and started doing little parts and that kind of thing, I realized that it is so important that if you're going to do action films, that you should learn acting. You know what I mean? Like you should. And I went into acting school. I actually was studied with Charlize Theron, and you know, I was in with a bunch of different. So it was like Don the Dragon Wilson used to come in there and audit classes. You know,
And who was the teacher at that class?
Ivana Chubbuck.
That I knew you were going to say that. I was searching for the name. Yeah. Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, very famous acting coach.
But she's great. Gosh, I had some really good time there with her. But I would say I went down with, I mean, if I don't know if it's cheating, but to say it was a very equal thing, because I was so fixated in the martial arts and I was so fixated in understanding film. I wasn't always worried about fusing them. In other words, I wasn't like, I want to go be the next Van Damme or anything like that, but I would love to do that. You know, in fact, as a matter of fact, the person I always looked to as inspiring that it was Wesley Snipes, because I would watch Wesley Snipes drop into a drama role and then he would go do Passenger 57 or whatever it was, and he could throw a sidekick like nobody else.
No, I remember seeing the trailer for Passenger 57 and thinking, he can do that. Wow.
Right, exactly. And he was, and then go act, you know? And so that was really what I was hoping to be able to do. In fact, there came a point in my career where I actually started turning stuff away for that reason, because I wanted to start just doing dramas and comedy. So I wouldn't, I mean, it was, I'm not saying that that's necessary, you know, listen, if you can get typecast in a role, whatever that role is, and work the rest of your life, count yourself as happy, or, you know what I mean? Like lucky, I should say.
Yeah. No, but you're right, because there's a stigma attached to it.
There is.
That sort of movie, the like a lot of cast directors, producers immediately would go, oh, well, he's not an actor, because that's the stigma, and it is what it is. So I understand. I mean, I experience it myself all the time.
Well, and the thing about you, and now everybody's going to be like, oh, okay, did he pay him? listen, one, I keep saying this about, I say this to your friends, people that know you. I've said this to Michael Jai. I've said this to other people. I said that Scott Adkins is an actor, and you are, because I've watched you do, like when I went, the first time I saw you on screen was actually when I went to Undisputed 2, because Isaac invited me to this Paramount or where they had it. And I went, where'd you find that Russian guy? You know, he was, and then when I saw, I went, wait, that's the same guy? I mean, the fact that you absorbed that role the way you did without it being a cartoon, it was a character, but it wasn't a cartoon. And that told me that you were an actor. And I think that's hard to do. It's hard to, you know, when you look at great actors and see them absorb these roles that are like bigger than life, but you still buy them. Those are what actors, that's where you. So I understand. It's always good to be humble. It's always good to not, you know, always strive to think I got better.
I did it by accident, Mike. I did it by accident because it took me another 10 years to do it again.
Oh, man, that's great. When I first got into LA, it was it was right at the end of the 80s. So it was like the early 90s when I started working, you know.
So I'm an actor, but I've got this martial arts ability, and I want to do that sort of movie if I'm lucky. And so you're seeing like Van Damme bursting through at that time, and this whole kind of thing just blowing up, right?
Yeah. And Seagal was there, and you saw it, and it was like, so my first, and even Don the Dragon, like you were talking about, this was right at that point where there was this sort of straight to video thing starting to happen. I worked at PM Entertainment. I did a number of films for them, and they were still going into theaters. PM's movies, Final Impact, the first movie I did, went into theaters. You know, I mean, they were limited. It wasn't like playing Westwood at the, you know, whatever, the Bruin or something, but they were in theaters, but it started to get this place with Gary, because Gary was just starting off at that time with, he'd done some stuff in the Philippines, it's Gary Daniels, yeah. He'd done some things, and then you know, he and I did Final Impact, and that's where I met him, and then with Gary and Don and the rest of them, they were just, it was one movie a month, you know, they were just cranking them out, but it was that straight to video thing, and it was an interesting time, because what you hit on earlier is they were finding, I say this collectively as a group, we're finding the new ways of choreographing action at that point, you know? Like now when you sit back and you watch it, you can see the sort of rhythm and staccato and style of it that's different than it is at this point, you know?
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's fun to kind of look back. Sometimes you get to see technique, just like it is to watch the 70s shape stuff from the kung fu movies, like the Shaw Brothers or the Season Oval films or whatever. You know, they have a particular style too that's not like we do it today, or it's commonly done today, you know. So anyways, I mean, you can go on and on about all that stuff, but it was an interesting time, because not only were you dealing with the idea of how to market these films and these American actors doing martial arts, but it was like, you know, the fighting style, you know, with that, you know, that triple jump cut they would do, like Van Damme would jump up and do a kick. And then it would cut again and cut again. Well, they did that to me too. I mean, you see films with me back then. Yeah, I'm like, I did it once.
That was the thing. And I think it was Van Damme that actually, I don't know if it invented it is the right word, but yeah, I think it,
right, it was. You're right. I think Bloodsport in that way. Kickboxer, one of them.
Yeah. So we've got him to thank for that. But you know, yeah, it worked. So how did you get the role in Final Impact? Final Impact, right?
Yeah, Final Impact. They actually wrote that, or were intending it originally for Don. They had done Blood. What did they do? Oh, Ring of Fire. They'd done Ring of Fire with him and Gary Daniels and Vince Murdocco and a bunch of these guys. And then they were going to do Lorenzo Lamas and Don the Dragon Wilson. They thought that was a great pairing. And then for whatever reason, they decided to bring a bunch of us in. So it was called The Flying Dutchman at that point, I remember. And then I went in and I went in audition. I walked in the room. Eric Lee was in there and Lorenzo. And I remember in the waiting room, Vince Murdocco was, I think they were auditioning Vince also. And I just remember going in and I was like, oh, Lorenzo Lamas. I was like, oh, man, I was nervous. And I knew Eric Lee from back in the day from all my kung fu stuff, you know, remembering Eric. And I just went in there. They, you know, read some lines and then they said, all right, show us some of your fighting stuff. And I just, which was always where I was very comfortable, because at that point, especially at that point, there wasn't as many people that were actors that were also, and I count my, I'm saying actor, like, you know, but I'm just saying I was acting at the time. that were could actually do some martial arts. So when I would always feel real comfortable when they'd say that. I go, okay, here we go. You know, I'd start doing tornado kicks and, you know, just try to impress the hell out of them with stuff you would never want to do in the street, but looks really good on in front of people. Drop down, do thumb push-ups or something. And then
was it ever like, because it was the late 80s, 90s, was it ever like, right, get the top off, get the physique out, and then do the martial arts?
Oh.
I mean, were they oh, can we see your physique, please?
Oh, all the time. All the time. Yeah. As a matter of fact, this is really funny you say that. A video popped up recently, and it wasn't even a martial arts film. It was for Halloween 5 or something that I did. It was the one that Paul Rudd ended up getting. And I went in there, and they're actually telling me to take my shirt off and show my physique. And it was up on YouTube for maybe a week, and then it was gone. I was like, oh, I remember that audition. But I was like, oh, they probably took that off because.
Not in this climate.
Yeah, that happened all the time.
Back in the day, that's the way it was. Amazing. Yeah, but it's all part of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Having the physique.
No, it is.
And that's why I keep skipping breakfast.
Yeah. Boy, yeah, right. But you didn't think much about that. You were just like you said, you know, it was like, that's it. That's part of the deal. You just got to keep in shape. I mean, I didn't think of it as like, you want me to take my shirt off? You're just like, yeah, you're trying to see, am I living the life?
That's all part of it, man. You didn't spend, you know, all that time in the gym to go in and be like, I don't want to take my shirt off. I'm not fucking ready for this. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. Yeah, you got to, man. You know, but yeah, that's how. So then I got when I did Final Impact. Yeah, it was great because it was my first real movie role. I mean, I'd done bit parts and stunt roles. I'd been on sets before, but it was the first time I was like, wow, I got a whole script. I got to, you know, go to. It was the first time I'd gone to Las Vegas. And PM, talk about low budget indie filmmaking. PM, that we all drove down in trucks and vans. There wasn't like a crew truck. It was like we were just in vans and cars and stuff. In fact, I went down with Lorenzo. Lorenzo said, you want to hitch a ride with me? I was like, yeah, let's go down to Vegas together. So I drove down with him.
Do you know what
the
budget was?
On the way. What's that?
Do you know what the budget was for the movie or anything like that?
It was definitely not breaking 100 grand. I mean, I'm guessing. Yeah. I think
so
they
how
might
many
have been
days did they shoot for the whole thing?
That was a 11-day shoot, actually. I remember specifically. Yeah, it was 11, 12 days. And trust me, I've had a few that would have been shorter. But that was what was great about Final Impact for me later in life is that I learned so much watching Joseph Murphy and Rick Pepin and those guys shoot that movie and how they did it, how they stole stuff along the way and how they prepped it, how they would sometimes.
We used to have the same car crash in a load of different movies, right?
I know, it's so true, man. It's the same car crash. You're right. But that's it. That's exactly it. That was their structure, especially when they got to a movie a month. Like, I think there was a point where it was like they did Gary Daniels, Don the Dragon, Gary Daniels, Don the Dragon. It was January, February, March, April. And that's how they were doing the movies. I don't know how they did it, you know.
Well, let's have a look at this fight scene. I think it's the end fight of Final Impact. So how many days would this be the other thing
that's interesting. This is actually in the middle of Final Impact. This is a guy named John Agro. I think he's since passed away, unfortunately. And I really liked working with John because he was very athletic and we had a great time working with him. But what's interesting about this, that's not, again, not done so much anymore, is that we would shoot the entire fight scene from one giant master. Like, you would go through this whole choreography from beginning to end over and over and over again, which would start getting kind of exhausting and confusing. You know, you're trying, it's not like, let's shoot a bit, then a bit, then a bit, then a bit. And then they would come in usually the next day with a handheld camera and get those tighter shots. They just pick up pieces as they would go.
So 2 days spent on this fight, would you say?
Well,
they'd do a bunch of fights from a wide and then a bunch of fights the next day with the camera in there.
Yeah, but you would like literally there was like three or four fights shot this day. So I had to have this choreography, then the next choreography, then the next choreography, because it was all the master shots. And we had that audience there for a day, you know. And then they would come back the next day and we would shoot all the, you know, let's get it this way. They would just basically say to us, what was the first move? We go, boom, boom, boom. We go, okay, let's try it from here. And then they would catch it and that's how they would do it.
Crazy, isn't it? I mean,
it was
just the American way. That it was, that's how you'd shoot a piece of drama. So they figured, well, that's how we'll shoot the action then.
Very good point.
Meanwhile, good in Hong Kong, they're doing it completely different.
Exactly. Yeah. And I had just I hadn't really started reading about how they were doing it in Hong Kong. I just knew something was different. And so
you're going to film the whole fight in the wide. So how long did you spend sort of rehearsing it?
Well, in that case, Eric Lee was technically the choreographer, but Art Camacho was sort of with him along at the time. Art's in the movie at one point. But I would say we do it the day before, you know.
Do you find that because you're doing the whole fight from beginning to end, that it's easier to make a mistake because you're getting tired and you maybe forget?
Well, you know what? Yes. But what's great is I'm going to skip ahead to something. What happened was years later when I was doing Acapulco Heat and I was doing it with David Carradine, and he just turned 60 and we were doing a fight scene and they were doing the fights on Acapulco Heat the same way. And at this point, I was so aware of this, and I would go, can we just do this in pieces? Especially, and I would start going, David's not like the greatest right now. He's sleeping between takes. I'm like, and they would just, no, we're going to shoot as a master. We're going to shoot as a master. And I was like, okay. So we started going through, he and I started going through this big fight we had at the end of the show. And sure enough, I'm on the ground. At one point, he's supposed to come up and kick me in the face. And he full on kicked me right in the face. He knocked my front tooth almost all the way out. Blood was pouring out of my mouth. And I looked over at the director from the position on the ground. And I said, can we cut? I was so pissed. But I held it together. He was really appalled. He felt really bad. But it's just because you get tired, you get confused, and you're caught up in the moment and you're fighting, you know? So I think my point is that there were more accidents when you would try to do these epically long fight scenes from beginning to end in one giant master. But as part of the
learning. From my experience, yeah. But also you want to be able to go like 100% full explosion, make it look as violent and visceral as possible. You can't do that if you're doing it like it's a stage play. Unless you're
absolutely exactly.
incredible and your cardio is through the roof, which mm-hmm. mine never has been. So it's like, you know. I've done it a few times, but honestly, I've been fortunate to hit the ground running with Isaac Florentine and working in Hong Kong and to have had experience of that from the get-go. And a lot of the times I've just said, I'm not doing it that way.
No, and you're right. And when you get to SEALs, there were some elements where we would do long pieces, which I love when you can do a real interesting long take from an action sequence where you're going, holy crap, you know, because the energy keeps going. You know, it's like sometimes a cut, even though we're not necessarily always registering it, makes you say, okay, they stopped and set up. Okay, they stopped and set up. So it takes away a little bit of the magic. But there's a balance, you know, there's a way of how do you find, like, you know, we think about Tony Jaa going up the stairs, right? You know, and having that big fight scene that goes on for 2 minutes. Those are great every once in a while, you know, I understand that. But it's like when you're doing it every fight scene, it can, you know, it does take the piss out.
If you're going to film it that way from beginning to end, then let it be that way in the movie. Otherwise, what's the point if you're going to edit into it and everyone's knackered?
It's exactly, like defeating
the objective, isn't it? But it's a different time, wasn't it?
This is Street Crimes. This is the second movie I did with PM Entertainment with Dennis Farina, who was just great to work with. I'm just so glad I had a chance to work with him in his career. But this is an example of the rhythm of the fight scenes back then. You watch this, it's all 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 1. It's like still John Wayne in a way, but with karate or kickboxing or whatever, you know. Today, again, you know, we find ways of finding the rhythm where it's a lot more flurried and broken up and a little more realistic and chaotic, where here it was very much this technique, then that technique, then this and that technique, you know. So it's almost like watching a martial arts demo or something, you know? I mean, but that's how the fight scenes were there. This here is to be the best. So this was the third film I did with PM. And, you know, we were up on top of this. This is before they blew up the Sands Hotel, like really right before. I think they blew it up on Con Air eventually, but...
Well, I just want to point something out because I like people to watch this show and to have some education from me on how to shoot action. Like this behind the scenes footage here, and you throw this kick and bang, bang. Now that looks nice. That's nice. Bang, bang. I see the whole thing. And then when we get to see it in the movie, didn't really see much.
Right. You're right. Well, actually, that double roundhouse they took out, it's actually not even in there. They leave the hook kick in here, so that stays in. But then they cut. It's almost like sometimes it's like that's too much. It's like three shots for one move. You know, it's like, what just, you know.
Yeah, it's like editors want to edit, man. Don't give them footage to edit, because they'll let. Well, it depends on the editor, but a lot of them they'll kill an action sequence. Like even though that didn't necessarily hit, that's a much better shot. This one here.
Right, and that's like you get somebody like you, for instance, who's got incredible kicks. Your kicking dexterity is beautiful, and the thing about it is that it's like you don't want to. It's like sometimes you want to let it breathe, you know. Like if you've got it, instead of going, well, it wouldn't be great if we just did it four times with Scott throwing his jump spinning heel hook. Let's just cut it four different ways as he's going. It's sort of you could be anybody at that point. You had somebody in there that jumps, you know what I mean? So I think sometimes it's important to let everybody go, whoa, did Scott just do that? You know, and I agree. Yeah. So in that regard, it is nice to open up and not over edit, you know.
Absolutely.
Especially because, and I don't know if this is, in fact, I'm going to ask you this, is there a nucleus, something in your life that made you start studying martial arts? Like, is there something, a particular either moment or thing that made you go, I want to pursue this? Do you remember what that was?
I think it was just Bruce Lee.
Okay. That's my point. I think.
Although there's a nucleus that happens after that, probably, that distilled it.
Right.
But growing up, it's like, oh, Bruce Lee, I want to be like him. And then right. What happened was I got mugged by a bunch of guys on a bus.
Oh, boy, yeah, it happened to me too.
And at that point, the trainer went into overdrive. So that turned me into a different sort of animal, because like, I'm not letting that happen again.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I think those are both great examples. But that actually, I think those are the two examples, what you just said. Which is, I think film has such, and this I didn't realize until later. I'm only bringing it up because I didn't want to forget while we're on your show talking about it. Once you stop and realize how many people, I know you've had this happen because I have, where people come up and say, I saw you in this movie and it's got me studying martial arts. So I eventually started going, holy crap, we're actually doing something beyond making a paycheck and having everybody go, look how cool your fight scene was. We're actually inspiring people all the time. If I, in fact, outside of being mugged on a bus, I would imagine that a film is what inspires most people to pick up martial arts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In your case, it was both. But I think I have since that time really started looking at the importance of action films in a way. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah. Yes, they can be, they're just kinetic energy, but it's like, think about every movie you've done. I can only imagine there are hundreds of guys out there that have seen, you know, Boyka or seen, you know, whatever the film is and gone, I want to do that now. So that is like, it's important. It's a weight, man. That's like a good weight, but it's like,
yeah. No, it's very true. And sometimes we forget to even think about that, but that is, we were inspired by someone to do this and therefore we do it. And then we're knocking it on forwards by inspiring some more kids to get into it. It's funny you're bringing that up now, because literally yesterday I was sent a video clip from a kid who's in Brazil, and he's changed his name to Boyka, Ricardo Boyka. He's got the Boyka tattoo. He's wearing the Boyka shorts. He's got the whole hairstyle like Boyka. He's an incredible martial artist. He's been sending me like clips, and I follow him on Instagram. And then just this weekend gone, he gets into the ring for his first professional fight, and he knocks the other guy out in like 13 seconds or something. It was incredible. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I've really inspired this kid, and he's actually a fierce fighter. So I apologize to all the other fighters that are going to face this guy. It's my fault.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. That's it, though. That's got to just make you. I mean, it's got to just make you feel so happy and stuff. It's like you're talking about the circular thing about you. You're on the cover of Empire magazine as we're recording this, and it says "No retreat, no surrender." And there you are flying. And you were mentioning how it's this circular thing about like that film, which was one of the ones that inspired you, and now here you are, and they're attaching that to you. And that story you just mentioned. I mean, it's just
yeah.
We are part of a circle of continuation, I'm sure, that goes through time, you know, which is great, you know.
And I love the fact that I love No Retreat, No Surrender so much, because let's be honest, it is a cheesy, cheap movie, but for whatever reason, it's flipping brilliant.
I loved it,
and it inspired me. I turned my garage into that, like, that film became a reality for me. I got mugged on that bus. I turned my garage into a dojo, just like Jason Stilwell's in the movie, praying that Bruce Lee would come and teach me. But instead, I had a flag of Bruce Lee and a shrine to him and all the rest of it. And that film, as cheesy as it is, had such a huge impact on me. And that's exactly what we're talking about. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, oh man, that's great. I love hearing that story because I think we we as collective, like everybody from back in the 60s till now, you know, there's this thing we're kind of patting everybody on the back. When I met Bruce Lai years later, I was like telling him over and over again, thank you for helping me get going, you know, and that's really cool that you had that opportunity. And I mean, with the Empire, I think that to get that sort of connection there, I just think that's great, you know.
It's circular, man. So on a fight like this, what is this done in half a day or same thing?
Yeah, same thing. This was probably what was interesting about To Be the Best was that there was so many fights and so many fighters that had so many fight scenes. They just set up a tent in the back of the hotel that they just put all of this in and mixing with. You would just go choreograph it and do it together. And then Art would come by and go, let's see what you got. And then he would go, oh, okay, that looks good. Or why don't you try this a little bit or do that? And that, but that was, it was just no way you could choreograph everything. So we all just did it with each other and then would go out and shoot it. And they'd have two cameras going at the same time. And then we would just shoot these masters with the extras.
Is this you saying sorry to the performer or is it part of the movie?
No, I actually, it's, you say that, but I, what I was watching in the fights, and this is just me being an actor, I said, we're always watching this kick everybody, and then we walk around the ring with our hands up, and it looks a little arrogant after a while. So somebody's go over and hug the guy, you know, say we're warriors, we're fighters. And so they said, oh, that's a great idea. And so we just ended up doing it.
Because I thought you nailed him so hard. Oh, sorry, mate. I almost hit you in the bollocks.
Oh, God, yeah, that's happened a few times. And this guy was a really talented martial artist. I don't know his name, but It was kind of a fun, quick little sequence, but we were on top of the stands. The freaking wind was blowing. We're on the corner of the roof of this thing. And I was like, oh man, this is the scariest place I've ever done a fight scene. They were just like, well, let's just be careful, but then let's shoot. I'm like, oh, you guys, no wonder you saved this one for last.
How old are you here?
I'm in my early 20s here, I guess. So I was, yeah, because this was 93, 94. So I was my mid-20s, early 20s, yeah.
You've got the full-on like American flag.
Oh my God!
His trousers on.
They, you know what it was? Those pants, and you'll see them all over the movie in different colors. Was a, they got a deal they got with the company Otomics? I think it was. They always use those pants. This is Fist of Iron. I did this after I did the first season of Acapulco Heat. We shot this out in the mean streets of Malibu, California. The only reason I like this little fight scene here is just because it's the only time I've ever used nunchakus in a movie, so I just thought it was kind of fun.
But the filming of this fight is pretty good, actually. It's framed pretty good. It looks like you're clocking there.
Yeah, no, nobody got hit, but I think it does look like it passes right over his head, yeah.
But it's a nice jump spinning back kick you do here. Bang, nice. Good angle for it as well.
Yeah, it's a tiny, yeah, it's pretty much, they get the low shot, you know, and sort of, you know, heightened it a little bit, I guess.
Fill the frame with beautiful movement. The frame is full, and you see the movement, you see that it connects, but, you know, there's no, like, space either side. It's a full, nicely framed shot.
That's it. That's your rule of thirds right there.
Now, I mean, this here, I'm like, what is going up? We're seeing the whole thing, and then, oh, we cut to that shot. So do you think it was that? They didn't get it properly in that shot or the editor.
I think what you're seeing is I think you're seeing an example of that part of that still that 90s kind of choreography thing, which was a lot of jump cuts, you know. I mean, we did it in one shot, you know, you could have picked one or the other, but I think they just that idea of going boom, boom, boom was sort of accentuating the move somehow, you know.
So tell me about the whole Batman thing.
Batman and Robin. I was Batman Forever, and I got in because my martial arts instructor at that time was Jerry Poteet. He's one of the people. He's one of Bruce Lee's students, and he knew Mally Finn, who was casting Batman and Robin or Batman Forever. And at the time, DiCaprio was originally supposed to play Robin, and then he had like, you know, he was doing the Basketball Diaries or something, or he'd just done it, and so he didn't want to do it. So they said, well, let's go. They started going to boxing gyms. They were going all over the place. But since Mally Finn knew knew Jerry Poteet, and he said, and Fran Joseph, his wife, they said, do you know anybody? He said, yeah, I got this guy, Michael Worth. So I came in. All I just did is come in, I did some collie sticks. I just did a little trapping just to show. That's what they wanted to see first. It was interesting with Robin. It was like, they didn't want to see the acting first. They wanted to see the skill first, you know, which I thought was kind of interesting. And then she brought me back, put me on tape. Then I got a call back that said, Joel wants to meet with you. So I went up and met with Joel Schumacher, who was directing. And I remember sitting in his office at Warner Brothers. I said, Michael, I have a seat. And I remember he was eating yogurt at the time. I remember, I go, hi. He's like, so tell me a little bit about yourself. And I go, and I remember this was a really interesting lesson for me. You know, as actors, you get in, especially because you're on Warner Brothers, and it's Joel Schumacher, and he'd done The Lost Boys and DC Cab and these movies that I just, you know, I was like, well, and I remember just like going, oh, you know, I've done some B movies, you know, and that was kind of my response. And he goes, Michael. And I go, yes. And he looks and he goes, I've done B movies. We've all done B movies. They're okay. That's great. I love it. So tell me more, you know, and it was really great. I was like, he just pulled me out of that. He saw me going down a hole of like, I just did some B movies kind of thing. And after that, I just lightened up and I had a great conversation with him. And then, and a long story short, I got a call and they said, they want to screen test you. So I was like, great, this is awesome. I went back in and it was me, Chris O'Donnell, and somebody else. And they put us on a sound stage and they had 35 millimeter cameras and they had us reading a different role. It was like, 'cause everything was so secretive, you know, the nobody could talk about this role or anything like that.
So the three of you were there together.
Yeah. It was me and another guy. I'm not sure who it was, but there was three of us at the callback or at this screen test, I guess. So then, long story short, I'm on a train. I remember I was going, I think it was on a family trip or something. And I got a call from Don the Dragon Wilson. He left a message on my machine. He goes, hey, Mike, he goes, I heard you're playing Robin. And then I called him. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, well, I was in Mally Finn's office. I'm going to play a little part in the movie. And she had your picture was on the wall. I said, hey, that's Michael Worth. And she goes, yeah, it's our next Robin. And I was like, no way, you're kidding. And I was like, oh. And then somewhere between that and 2 days later, they had worked some kind of a deal out with Chris O'Donnell. And I got the call from Joel and said, listen, Mike, you were so great on this. I want you to tell you, I'll catch you on the next one. But it was, and I was like, oh man.
That's like pain. 2 days. That's pain, right?
Yeah. And then, so long story even shorter, I was on a set of another show. I was on Marker with Richard Grieco. I was shooting in Hawaii. And they called and said, can you play Robin's brother next week? And I was like, I'm on a shoot. I can't do it. Then I came back and they said, do you want to fight Robin in a scene? And I was like, yeah, okay. I'll fight him.
That must have been soul destroying to have come that close to a life changing scenario. I mean, Jesus, that's the worst part of the profession, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know it. I mean, sure, you've had, I don't know exactly the trajectory of your career, but I'm assuming there was...
I've had a couple of those, but that's on like, there's nothing bigger than a Batman movie.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Playing like the character, some kind of iconic character in a Batman movie, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, so, I auditioned for a Batman thing, but it was nothing like that. I mean, that's going screen testing everything. That's very close. And Chris O'Donnell had done Scent of a Woman at that point, had he? So, I mean, he's in an Oscar-nominated film and all the rest of it.
Well, and he was also in the same agency with Tommy Lee Jones, which was, so there was a little package deal going on. But listen, Chris did great. I mean, it's like, that's the thing about being an actor, and I know you probably, I mean, you can tell me how you feel about this, but it's like there comes a point where there's no exact right one person for something. It's just people going, you know, I like Scott or I like whoever, and I think they're great for it or whatever. And you just go, and there could be maybe 20, 30, 50, 100 other people stepping into that role besides us. So you just got to just go, you know what, that was, you know.
It is what it is. But that's the other side of the coin is that, that's the great thing. The beauty of this business is you don't know what's around the corner. And it doesn't matter how old you get, you could still get that next role that's going to make you a household name all over again. I mean, I always look at the Cobra Kai TV series. That's very inspiring to me because you look at Billy Zabka's career and, you know, he was doing whatever he was doing for a few years. And then that thing came out. And he's this huge star and, you know, he's doing the 90s B movies and everything. And he's gone from there to that. So you never know. It keeps you reaching, keeps you positive.
And I think what's interesting, first off, that was a great example. I think that Cobra Kai series is my dream idea of how you take a loved franchise or a loved film or whatever and do it again or continue it, because you don't just go, okay, let's call it the Karate Kid or Cobra Kai and move off in 90,000 different directions. You are constantly going back to that roots and that foundation, you know? Mm. So I love that show. And I think it's a great example. The other thing is that I think is great is that in the Kung Fu tradition, you know, like the Kung Fu movies, the old master was always the toughest guy in the room. You know what I mean? Like until he trained the one student that, you know, breaks the egg in the right way. And all of a sudden he's passed on the mantle. So there was this sort of thing about the elders in the Kung Fu movies that you always just respected the elders. You could be like Sam Seed, who's the old, you know, old dirty bastard that it was like, whoa, get away from him. In America, it wasn't that way. You know, the coaches was Mickey and Rocky. And he's like, he had the knowledge, but he's like, Rock, I can't do that. He could get in the ring and like punch Stallone in the face. You know, it wouldn't make sense. Now, there is a shift with our way of doing films. You get the old man with Jeff Bridges. You get Liam Neeson and Taken. You know, you're watching these guys who are still in some fashion or another keeping themselves focused and together, that are, you're buying them, watching them go out there and destroy people, you know, which is great. I love seeing that.
Yeah, man. So back to Batman. I've got the Batman fight.
Oh, right. Yes.
Which one are you?
So I'll show you. You'll see me here. I'm always right next to Don. I wasn't stupid. I knew where to be. I remember it was funny too. I'll be on there's Don in the center, and I'm just over his or to the right of Don. You'll see my face is right. I'll show you in a sec. I can't point to it, but and at the end, I take the last kick also from O'Donnell. So I'm there laughing in front of Don's chest. So Ron Ewan's on the left of, I should say, on Don's right. I'm on Don's left there. So you can see me with the sleeveless shirt. I mean, this whole fight scene, you know, we talk about fight scenes being shot in a day. This whole fight scene took like 5 days. They were spending 5 days in this alley shooting this fight scene. And now I'm holding Ron on the left.
Chris O'Donnell looks exactly like him.
Yeah, I know. That's Brad for his last name. But there's me on the left taking that shot. And it was funny. After that, it was Conrad Palmisano was the stunt coordinator. I remember I took that kick and I hit the ground. And then I got up and I walked off. And then Conrad comes up to me and goes, you took a kick from O'Donnell at the end there, didn't you? I go, oh, yeah, I was the one that took it. He goes, okay, extra grand. And then he walks off. I was like, I got an extra grand? That's the best. Yeah. Oh, man.
That's a big movie for you.
Yeah.
Isaac prioritizes the action, so
yeah, he does. And that was one of the reasons why I really wanted to do this. It was like kind of like I was talking to you about your show. You know, you're somebody with the knowledge and experience that can talk to other people with using their language. Isaac was the same way. The other thing about many of these older films that I would do is the director would be like, okay, we spent all day on the dialogue, now you got an hour to go do the fight scene. You know, that I can't tell you how many times it's happened to me where it's like, we got an hour to do a fight scene or 2 hours or whatever, but it was like nothing. Where Isaac was like, number one was getting this stuff down and on.
Action is king. Action is king.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, man, I loved Isaac. But what I liked about this particular scene, it was a very complex scene with all of us in it, is that there's a real interesting ballet between the fights and the camera.
Well, look at the camera work that Isaac's utilizing. I mean, he obviously got a crane and he loves stuff like that. I mean, this is, you know, you want to call it a B-movie, it's got some great camera work.
This is where he was really, like he would say, after you do this technique, Michael, then look this way. And I would go, do I have to? And he's like, yes, look this way. Because I didn't get what he was trying to do, but he was motivating his shots by people's movement.
No, it's wonderfully shot. You know, you've never looked better. And to have somebody like Andy Cheng on the team, with the come from the Jackie Chan stunt team and all that, you know, just amazing.
Well, and I just think it would be remiss, and I'd point this out, by the time I came into this, and they brought us out about a week and a half before shooting started. So it was the first time where I was like, we're going to rehearse for a week. You know, it was like, are you kidding me? Really? And we just spent every day in the gym, and I started, it was like starting from the bottom again. You know, when you see the way Andy has his choreography, the rhythm, the speed, the intensity, that's so different than everything I had done before. I loved it. I was eating it up. It was the greatest thing ever, but it was very different. And also you know, as you find this, the posing stuff that was pulling in a little bit from from Isaac's love of the Power Rangers, you know, but it was like, it was just a very new style of fighting. So it was a big adjustment in a way for me to come in and do this.
One of the things that works well in an action film with fights is when it's dirty like this, you know, the power, the powder that comes off the feet, the clothes. Yep. I mean, Isaac's a big fan of Sergio Leone anyway. He wants everyone filthy all the time, but it adds to the action as well. It's not good seeing everyone clean. It's better with the dust and covered in blood. And there
wasn't even a makeup artist doing this. It was just all over the place.
What was this gentleman's name again?
Damien Chapa. He was in Under Siege with Seagal, and he
this
did.
This is post bloody... Street Fighter, right?
You're right. Yeah. Correct. That's right. That was the other one he was in. This scene was the most difficult fight scene I've ever done. When you step into water, even if it's just going up to your ankles, and then start trying to throw and move, you all of a sudden feel like you got 40 pounds of weight dragging along with you. So that made it so difficult to do this.
It's really cool, this sequence, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was such a joy to have the production team be so involved with the action, trying to do stuff, mounting that just for that one shot where the clothes go flying. You know, it's like how long it took him to just, because he just, Isaac wanted that. He wanted the clothes tearing up in that direction.
So how long did he spend on this particular fight?
This was, I'd say, between this and where we're going to go into the other room, it was maybe 2 or 3 days. Because there was, this fight was going on here. Literally in the other room, Karen Kim and Sophia Crawford were doing, I mean, they were shooting them at the same time. So, I mean, there was literally a camera rolling there and a camera rolling here. Once we got into this other room, which is where we're coming up to, then both Andy and Isaac were sort of in there working collaboratively together. And I like this, the movement of this, because we go into this sort of artful fight in the water where it's sort of very structured. And then we come in here and it's just like chaos. It's like he's just so pissed at this point. It's just throwing, bashing, the energy changes. The pacing of the choreography is different. It's just like smash, 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 which I love. It certainly turns into like this little bit of a, you know, Hong Kong style thing here. But it's like very just different than what we just were in, so it broke it up a little bit, which I love.
Yeah, I suppose like to work with Andy Cheng and Isaac at that point was compared to the other stuff, I don't know, but I imagine it was a bit of a learning
eye-opening, inspiring. It just taught me to start relearning the game all over again. You know, it was like, okay, good, I'm glad I think I was beginning to, and it was also what got me to want to start thinking more about directing and doing second unit and just being more on the creative side of it. Even if I wasn't in front of the camera, it was like, I want to start developing this part of my brain a little bit, you know? But yeah, that was, it was great. And the screening went, it was funny because I was giving Isaac such a hard time with the sound effects. I was like, Isaac.
Well, he made a mistake with that and he knows it. It's too much.
Which is funny because I said that to him, and then we went to the screening of it, and everybody, actually Jean-Claude was there, Don the Dragon was there. It was a pretty big screening we had, you know. And for me, it was like, wow, you know, Van Damme's here, and the crowd by halfway through the movie was just like going crazy every time something would make that noise, you know, more like because it was just so ridiculous. Yeah. And then when we came, and there was applause at the end, and it was just like big response. And when we came out, I bumped in Isaac, and Isaac looked at me and goes, "Michael, what did I tell you? They loved it."
But no, he knows.
Good job, Isaac. You told me You showed me.
Well, he didn't do it in any of his films after that as much, but he does. I know. Like that style. But yeah, maybe he experimented too hard on that one. Talk to me about going into the directing.
Yeah, you know, it just was something that I started doing on Acapulco Heat, actually. It was like, that was between 93 and 96. I was in Mexico, and, you know, you get on a set for 6 months, you know, where, you know, it's a series, but it's like, you know, you're just kind of like, okay, I'm going to get up again tomorrow. I'm going to say similar lines I said yesterday, and then I'm going to go back to my room. So it's like your brain starts going, and I'm like going, you know, that the acting stuff I love, and it stimulates one part of my brain. And, you know, the whole audition process and the fight, I love it. It's great. It's the part of me that's the kinetic testosterone part. But the part about directing and the writing it hits another part of, I don't know which side it is, but it's one or the other, and it stimulates in a different way, which I realized I needed. You know, I needed to feel I'm balancing out both aspects. I don't think a person needs to have to direct or to write or whatever to stimulate that part. You, as an actor and a performer, you know, I don't know with you, do you have a inclination at this point to like try directing or try writing, or is that stimulating? You just kind of like,
yeah, no, I've already been writing some stuff. Films produced that I co-wrote, Accident Man 1 and 2. And I've worked on some other stuff and not took a credit. But directing is definitely in the future. My problem is that I'm scared to direct and star in it at the same time, especially if it's an action film, because, you know, I'm absolutely shattered anyway. And I'm meant to direct on top of that. I kind of want to give myself a fighting chance. So that's what's stopping me at the moment.
Because you're basically every director deal you get, you got to be the guy in the movie is what you're probably running into.
Yeah, to get the financing, I need to be in it. So I need to find the script, which is going to let me be a supporting part that's big enough, but not too big that I'll, you know, and the action is not all on my shoulders.
Yeah.
Because that's the bit of really
I think that's about. It's intelligent, man. That's the way to do it, because I did the same thing you talked about. When I started, I started putting myself in. I just did this movie with Dolph Lundgren that we wrote together, and he directed, and he was at the end of it, he was like, next time I direct, I'm not going to be in it. I was like, probably a good idea, man. So this fight scene you're about to show, it's actually one of my favorite fight scenes I've done, and partly because of what happened. Is I just said, look, let's not even talk about this fight scene. Let's just go up there, because he and I knew each other. This is where being a martial artist in your can maybe not always. I'm not saying this is the way to do it, guys, but can work. I said, let's make it up in the 2 hours we've got to shoot it, or whatever it is we had. Let's just make it up, and we'll keep the energy going. Now let's do this. And so this whole fight was us just making it up. We got a shot, got it. Let's try this. Boom, 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 boom. Let's go. And then our energy was just so frenetic, and I think it ended up paying off. You know.
Yeah, man. Let's have a look at it. In the desert.
It was like 110 out there, Palmdale.
Nice.
And this was all shot on 16 millimeter, because it was before digital. I mean, digital was around, I think, but we weren't using it.
So a big elevation in the style of fights compared to what you were doing when you first started, and now working with guys like Dan, who was so experienced.
Yeah, and it's just like we just knew we could hit each other and we could pop each other and we're fine. You know, it was like Damien sometimes, or Matthias Hughes. Matthias would go, watch out, don't hit me here, and be careful, I had a shot here the other day, don't hit me here. I was like, okay, where can I hit you? You know, I love Matthias, he's the best, man. But Dan was, we were cracking each other and hitting each other, and I just felt like the energy of the scene worked, you know, and I just kind of liked it, knowing exactly how we put it together.
Yeah, good stuff, man. This was interesting, this Wolf movie here.
Yeah, so this was a number of years later. I was doing this is again where Dan and I are going to fight at the end. It was a movie. I'm going to be candid about this. This is not my favorite movie that I did. Partly there was a lot of problems with it, logistic problems. It was just over set up, and just I couldn't pay it up. There's parts of it I really like. I think that worked out. But what's interesting, and the reason I wanted to show this is. We did some wire work in it because the characters Dan and I play here are both turning into werewolves. We haven't fully turned into them yet, but it's like starting to take over, and we got it while we were in the war together. And I like this idea of how maybe this werewolf idea sort of was a metaphor for PTSD, and that everybody's character, whatever it might be, gets accentuated. And Dan's character was really cocky, so he gets more cocky and more like arrogant and alpha male. And so by the time the end of the movie takes
place, was that a double headbutt at the beginning?
Yeah, what's that? Yeah,
that was the
hardest part, man. It was so scary because they're really coming at each other's head. But the idea of the fight was to make he and I fight with a little martial arts, like we're still maintaining our human side, but then occasionally we get into this sort of more animalistic part of it, you know. So I mean, it was a movie for the Sci-Fi Channel. It was a little goofy but it's got a couple of moments in it that I just find interesting and educational.
Yeah, no, it's cool the way the wires are employed to give you that just a little bit of an extra leap.
Yeah, like we're leaping through the air kind of thing.
Yeah.
And if people, and the first time I used wires was seals, and I didn't realize how tough it was. You know, I was like going, man, this isn't easy. You think, oh, I'll put a wire, that'll help me. But it's like, you got to learn how to roll with them. And, you know, it's
not easy. Because you can't jump with a wire on. You've got to look like you're jumping, but you have to let the wire, people that don't know, if you jump, then the wire's going to not be taut anymore. It's going to go like that. And then you're going to get even more of a shock when it actually pulls you. So you have to be careful to pretend to jump, but let the wire pull you and all that nonsense. And then you got the wire wraps and the wire cutting into your arms and hitting the face, and absolutely sucks.
I mean, I'm not a fan of them. I understand why you use them, but it's like, it is a pain in the ass. It's like, can I just jump, or can I just try and do a jump sidekick? I mean, luckily you've got some great height when you jump. So it's like, you don't have to use them too much, but sometimes it's,
But I started in Hong Kong and did a bunch of Hong Kong movies, and you know, they put you on the wire whether you like it or not. So
is that where you got your first? So you started in Hong Kong.
I did, yeah. My very first film was a Hong Kong movie, and I never expected to go out there, but they brought me out, and then it kind of snowballed. I became the new guy in Hong Kong. They were flying me out from England. I didn't even go out there to just try and do this thing. They were flying me out. And I worked with Yuen Woo Ping, and I worked with Sammo Hung and Jackie Chan and, you know, all the guys, Corey Yun. And I learned from, this is my first experience. This is how I learned from those guys. And then my next job was Isaac Florentine. So, you know, Hong Kong way from the very beginning, I never knew anything else. And then when I eventually did a movie which didn't do it the Hong Kong way, I was like, the hell's going on here? Why are you guys doing it this way? Doesn't even make sense.
Wow, so, you had like the op. That's interesting. Yeah. Wow, that's pretty cool, though. That's interesting. I didn't know that about you.
Yeah.
So you went. I mean, it was like you like peaked with the top guys. I mean, at the very beginning, it's like you're sort of like learning from.
Yeah.
From the
top. I soaked it up like a sponge. I wanted to learn as much as I could, and you know, you're working with Yuen Woo Ping on his second movie. It's like, you know.
Well, listen, I remember I was actually at Marshall Teague's house, and he had some footage from, it was before I saw the movie Special Forces. And so I saw you in that. And I said to Marshall at the time, I said, where'd you find that guy? I go, I remember because I heard about the part. I was like, well, I should play that. And I watched you and I went, oh, okay, I see why that guy got the part. But yeah, it really showed, you know.
Well, I appreciate it, mate. I appreciate you coming on the show. I appreciate all the movies you've done over the years, especially the old 90s B-movie American martial arts films. I loved all that stuff. I grew up watching that. That is my teenage youth. And thanks for everything.
Glad to have been a part of your youth, my friend.
Oh, absolutely. And thanks for coming on The Art of Action and talking to me. I really appreciate it. Kidding?
The highlight of my year so far. It's great. Thank you.
And we look forward to seeing Wanted Man, which you've written.
Wanted Man, right? Yes. They wrote with Dolph. Yeah.
Wrote with Dolph, and Dolph directed it, right?
Correct. Yeah. 13 years. We wrote that thing for 13 years. So hopefully it ends up doing pretty good.
All right. Cool, man. Yeah. Love Dolph. Okay, Mike. Right, thanks, buddy. Mate. And hopefully we can work together at some point.
I know we have to at some point. We got to do it. We'll figure it out. I have something I was writing for myself originally, but now I think maybe I'm going to pitch it off to you and see if I can talk you into it at some point. It's like within my dream project. You might like it. You ready? Okay.
Yeah. All right.